Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, page 1224 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read just one verse here, and that's the 8th verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Let's read together, please. Ready? Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Turn now to 1 John chapter 4, page 1324. We'll read two verses here, the 17th and 18th verses. 1 John 4, 17 and 18. Let's read this also together. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's pray. Father, once again, unique is our opportunity. We're privileged to be here in this great church. Help our hearts to be prepared for that which You prepared for perhaps weeks ago. You saw this day long before we experienced it. And You saw what needed to be done. And we pray that we would be simply tools in Your hand to see that whatever You want done today will be done. Help us to be instruments of blessing. Help us to hear. Help us to do. And bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've always thought he was a marvelous singer, but I think I found the secret. Did you hear that accompaniment this morning? There may be some hope for me after all. Could you see me after the service, please? I'd like to see if that'll help me some. I want to speak this morning from two passages. You'll not turn to them. One is that amazing passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, love never faileth. And then the other, I read for you, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I want to speak this morning on the subject, perfect love never faileth. I hope you'll listen as we bask in the sunlight of the love of God, and as we bathe in the pool and drink from the fountain, and eat from the table of the love of God today. Our Heavenly Father, I marvel, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, yes, us sinners condemned unclean. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank You for the love of God, that perfect love. May the people give me a hearing this morning, and I promise I'll try to listen to You and tell them what You speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. There were three words in the Greek language originally that were translated love. Those of you who know Greek know immediately what those three words are. I'll not go into the Greek words. But each of these three words were caused by the object of love. And each of these three words could be doused, or diminished, or lessened, or quenched by the change of the object. For example, one of those loves deals with romantic physical love. which means that love could stop if the object is no longer as attractive as it once was. One of those loves deals with a love for a person's disposition or a fondness for a person's demeanor. That love could be doused or erased or lessened or quenched if that person became less attractive. So all three of these words in the original Greek dealt with the subject that were caused by the object. So there had to be another word invented to describe the love of God. Because the love of God is not caused by the object of the love, it's caused by the heart of the lover. The others could stop. Now I'm talking about there was a time when there was no word for a perfect love. The others could stop. The others could fail. The others could have lapses of time. The others could faint. The others could lessen. The others could decrease. The others could change according to the attractiveness of the object. However, these could not be included in a definition of God's love. There must be a word that would describe a love that does not stop, a love that never fails, a love that has no lapses, a love that cannot faint, a love that never lessens, a love that never changes, and a love that is not partial. So another word was invented, and that word in the Greek language, as you well know, is the word agape. The word agape was not originally a part of the Greek language. But here is a word invented because no word in the Greek language could describe the love of God. And that love is perfect love, the Bible says, and it never faileth. Now, all of the above are included in that term, never faileth. It means that God's love, this perfect love, cannot stop. This perfect love cannot fail. This perfect love cannot have lapses. This perfect love cannot faint. This perfect love cannot lessen. This perfect love cannot decrease. This perfect love cannot change. That means that God's perfect love is always the same. That means if you're good, He loves you. If you're bad, He loves you. That means if you live righteously, He loves you. If you fall into sin, He still loves you. And the love never wavers, never changes, never lessens. It's always the same. So His love cannot stop. God loves you when you're living for Him. And God loves you when you're living away from Him. And He always will. God loves you when you're serving Him. And God loves you when you're not serving Him. And you cannot do anything about it. God's love loves you, and He always will. God loves you, street person up there in the mezzanine this morning. God loves you with those who had perhaps a rock or a box for a pillow last night. God loves you. And He always will. And there's nothing that you can do that can keep God from loving you. He always will love you, for perfect love never faileth. God loves you, mission man, with nights you would like to forget and days that you would like to relive. God loves you with a perfect love, and He always will. I'm so glad that God loves me when I feel good and when I feel bad. God loves me when I am good and I am bad. God's love, a love that word that had to be invented to describe the love of God, a perfect love. God loves you, fallen one, a slave to unholy passion. God loves you, atheist, in spite of your disbelief and your doubt. God loves you, fallen woman, whose skirt sends forth advertisement, and He always will. God loves you, skid row occupant, as you search for a cigarette butt in the gutter, and He always will. God loves you, rebel student, with the word expelled stamped on your record, and He always will. There's no one in this room this morning that is separated from that love of God, that perfect love, that love that cannot stop, that love that cannot cease, that love that cannot be interrupted, that love that cannot lessen, that love that cannot decrease. God loves you. God loves you, prodigal boy, whose parents' eyes are stained with grief, and He always will. God loves you, unwed mother, as you wonder where your baby is now, and what maybe the baby's name is, and what it looks like, and He always will. God loves you, O.J. Simpson, with a twice bloody knife held tightly in your hands, in spite of what you've done, God loves you, and He always will. God loves you, mother, who gave permission for the murder of your unborn and had a part in plotting the murder of flesh of your flesh and blood of your blood. You've committed an awful sin, and you're guilty of murder, but God still loves you. And God loves the wicked doctor who took his scalpel and murdered with his own hands. You murder somebody a day before he's born, that's okay. Murder somebody a day after he's born, that's not okay. But in the sight of God, you're as much a murderer as if you'd murdered somebody who was 25 years old. But I have good news for you. God loves you. And God wants to forgive you. I was talking to a man not long ago, and I said, God loves you. But he said, you know what I've done? I said, Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But he said, I've taken these hands, and I've murdered. I said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm simply saying, you can't go deep enough to get too deep for the love of God. And you can't go far enough to escape the love of God. This perfect love never stops and never fails. God loves you, homosexual, in spite of your wicked lifestyle, and can straighten you up if you'll but let Him do so. And He always will. God loves you, David, with Uriah's blood dripping from your hands. He still loves you, and He always will. God loves you, Gomer, the wife of Hosea, who left your husband and three children for a life of whoredom and spent your life out yonder selling your body to lustful men for merchandise. God loves you, Gomer. He loves you in the house of prostitution. He loves you as you sell your body for merchandise. Oh, let me tell you this morning, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is His love for me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. He loves you, Jacob, 20 years away from the will of God. And He always will. He loves you, thief, on Calvary, dying and being crucified, dying justly on a cross. He loves you, and He always will. He loves you, Rahab, stained with the money in your coffers from selling your body. He loves you, Rahab, and He always will. He loves you, Magdalene, with your tenfold possession of demons, and He always will. He loves you, woman of Sychar, living with a man not your husband, and five times divorced, and He always will. He loves you, Zacchaeus, with your filthy lucre charged to your account, and He always will. He loves you, Peter, with curse words of denial still warm from your breath, and He always will. He loves you, Noah, as you lie in a drunken stupor, and He always will. He loves you, addicted to the narcotic demon, and He always will. He loves you, Jacob, the world's crookedest soup salesman, and He always will. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you, Samson, as you visit a woman, a barber, and sell your power for a scent of perfume or myrrh, and He always will. I'm trying to tell you this morning that you sit there in your righteousness, or sit there in your sin, or sit there in your doubt, or sit there in your belief, wherever you sit. I don't care if you sit in the seat of the mission man, or sit in the seat of the homeless, or sit in the seat of the bus kid, or sit in the seat of the saint, or sit in the seat of the sinner. There is a God in heaven who irrevocably loves you, and He cannot help but love you with a perfect love. God loves you. Kennedy family, with broken bones, broken lives, and broken hearts, caused with your dirty liquor business. But He loves you, and He always will. God loves you, Hugh Hefner, as you bring the morality of a nation to its knees, and nobody in this world will face the judgment of God quite like Hugh Hefner will. But if Hugh Hefner will walk down these aisles this morning and say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, and I know that Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting as my Savior, the love of God would reach down and wash away every sin that Hugh Hefner's ever committed. It's an old story. Over here where the sailors meet, Used to be a new dancing place over there. Forgot the name of it. So have you. What? Seven Seas. Some people know the name of that old place and have memorized it. There used to be a new, less about a block and a half from where I stand right now. We used to go over and pass out tracts as they walked in that new dancing place and pass them out as they walked out. That man hated me like nobody in the world ever hated me, I guess, and hated me like he said never hated anybody. But one day, suddenly, that place closed up. We didn't know why. Several weeks later, I got a phone call as I left the office to go to the airport. I received a call back. When I got to the airport, I sat down in the airport in a payphone booth, and I called, and the fellow said my name, and he called his name. He said, for years, I ran the Seven Seas Lounge over here. He said, I never hated anybody like I hated you. All those gospel tracts, he said, I could go home and curse you every night and tell my wife I'd like to kill that man. But he said, one night I went home and I said to my wife, that fellow's getting through to me. And he said, I fell to my knees and I got saved. He said, now God's called me to preach the gospel. That man who ran the Seven Seas Lounge is now a gospel preacher pastoring a church somewhere in West Virginia, I think. I'm simply going to say, I don't care if you run the Seven Seas Lounge. God loves you, and God will forgive you. I don't care if you got the stain of blood on your hands of taking somebody's life. He loves you, and He always will love you. God loves you, lonely sailor, thinking of home today, and He always will. God loves you, weary truck driver, as you steer your traveling tank, and He always will. God loves you, Abraham, as you go into sin and father an illegitimate child born out of wedlock, and He always will. God loves you, bus kid who wonders where your daddy is and what he looks like. He loves you, and He always will. God loves you, deserted wife, and He always will. And God loves you, deserting husband, and He always will. God loves you, whoever you are. God loves you, wherever you are. And God loves you, whatever you are. And it cannot stop. It will never be, God once loved me. It's impossible. It will never be, God used to love me. It will never be, God doesn't love me anymore. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. See, you're so used to loving that which is beautiful, and loving that which is lovable, and loving that which is loving, and loving that which is love, you can't comprehend anybody loving that which is unlovely. But you better thank God He loves everybody unlovely, because none of us is lovely in the sight of God, and none of us is righteous, and none of us is good. Hallelujah! We bask in the sunlight of the mighty, perfect love of Almighty God. It cannot lapse. He doesn't love you when you're good and stop when you're bad. It will never be, God doesn't love you now. It will never be, God will love you again someday. For sin cannot interrupt the love of God. And doubt cannot quench it. And disappointment cannot stop it. And rebellion cannot douse it. It never lapses for a while. The love of God never lessens. It will never be, His love has grown cold. It'll never be, He doesn't love me as much as He used to. His love cannot change. He doesn't weary of you and love you with a cheaper love because you're not as good as you once were. By the way, you can't do anything to change the love of God. You can't say anything to change the love of God. You can't be anything to change the love of God. You can't go anywhere to change the love of God. When I think about this, and it's not a part of my sermon, I think about Todd Moffett. Todd Moffett was a boy that grew up in First Baptist Church, went to our Hammond Baptist schools. Todd Moffett was my buddy and my pal. But Todd Moffett went into sin. He got him a motorcycle, and he went everywhere in the country could, I guess, committed every sin. He told me, he said, I guess there's no sin I haven't committed. If I find out, I wanted to find out what it was, and I wanted to commit it too. Todd Moffett got that motorcycle and rode all across America. He slept on the streets like some of you fellows have. Had to go to rescue missions like some of you fellows did. Todd Moffitt was sitting one night in a tavern in St. Louis, Missouri, listening carefully. And Todd Moffitt asked himself the question. Long, shaggy hair. A beard, you couldn't even recognize who he was. And Todd Moffitt asked himself a question. Does anybody in the world love me? Get me. Does anybody in the world love me? And Todd Moffitt said, yes, there is. Brother Hiles loves me. You know why Brother Hiles loves Todd Moffitt? Because Brother Hiles has been bathed in the same love that God gave to, for himself, for you. And Todd Moffitt said, yes, Brother Hiles loves me. Gets up, walks out of the tavern, gets on his motorcycle, and comes back to Hammond, Indiana. I walked out of my office one night late after counseling. Had my coat over my shoulder walking down the hallway, and I was